Very good morning to you. It's 10:30. Monday evening, there was an adjournment debate in the House of Commons on the recent floods in Northumberland and their aftermath. It was led by Sir Alan Beef, our local MP, and replying for the government was the newly appointed Minister Jane Kennedy, a Minister of State at the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. First to speak was Sir Alan.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm glad to have the opportunity to raise the very serious floods that Northumberland experienced on the weekend of the 5th of September. They were devastating and they went well beyond the experience and expectation of the communities involved. Hundreds of people will not be able to resume living in their homes for months, in some cases a year or more. Many local businesses were directly and severely hit. The whole nation saw on TV how appalling the situation was in the historic town of Morpeth, which is the local market town for a significant part of my constituency. Its MP, the Honourable Member for Wansbeck, is here, and he has a debate on the Morpeth situation on Thursday. The Honourable Member for Hexham is here as well, and Ponteland in his constituency was affected. Tonight, although I'll be referring to the devastation which I saw for myself in Morpeth town, I want to draw attention to the fact that although the numbers involved were smaller, the devastation was very severe in a number of smaller communities. Worst hit was Rothbury, where over 50 properties were flooded, many up to above window height, 6 or 7 feet up the wall in many cases, and this happened in pensioners' single-storey cottages. Access to the village was cut off by the floods, so the rescuers' effort and countermeasures depended entirely on the small number of council and emergency service workers based in the village and the huge effort of voluntary organisations, volunteers and good neighbours. Throughout the flooded areas, there were, thankfully, no lives lost and no serious injuries. And a great debt of gratitude is owed by all of us to the professionals, the volunteers and the neighbours who worked unceasingly throughout the weekend. The good neighbours included hotel proprietors like those at Clennell Hall near Alwinton and the Percy Arms at Chatham, who took in and fed flooded caravanners and stranded motorists, despite the fact that their own staff couldn't get into work. Other places where houses and businesses were flooded included Powburn, Warkworth, Belford, Kirknewton, Felton, and a large area of the Till Valley near Wooler, where rural businesses were completely deluged, crops were destroyed, and over 800 sheep and other animals were drowned. In the Ingram Valley, the only road was washed away and homes were severely at risk. At Amble, there was very serious damage to the harbour wall and equipment for the fishing industry was destroyed. Many places had severe flooding from which properties only narrowly escaped with the aid of sandbags. No one could remember anything like it, even those who could remember the 1948 floods. In dealing with this situation, I want ministers and agencies, and I'm glad that the regional minister is present for the debate, to look at four things: flood warnings, flood defences, future emergency planning, and government help for the recovery effort. There were clearly failings in the Environment Agency's warning system. There was a specific failing affecting householders in one part of Morpeth town centre who did not get the warnings which are issued elsewhere. At Rothbury, the warning system failed, apparently because the gauge was on the Uzi Burn, which didn't rise rapidly because the rain fell on a surprisingly narrow section of the Upper Coquet catchment. A man in Warkworth, with flood water rising in his house, rang the Environment Agency to be told that there was no warning in place for his area. All these defects in the warning system can and should be remedied urgently, and that won't involve huge expense or difficulty. Warnings would not have prevented the floods, but they would have assisted the rescue operations and enabled some people to remove particularly treasured possessions to safety. Alnwick District Council would have moved vehicles from its yard at Rothbury, which were wrecked. Much more challenging and more expensive is the need to tackle flood defences. Indeed, some of this work is already planned, for example, to reduce the flood risk at Morpeth. Bringing this work forward for earlier completion is doubly sensible because it's just the kind of available investment project which the Chancellor apparently recognises we need in a recession. The Environment Agency must engage with people in the Rothbury and Coquetdale areas to discuss how the flood risk can be reduced. Yes, sir.
Can I thank the Right Honourable Gentleman for giving way and congratulate him on securing this important debate? He rightly points out that quite a number of communities in Northumberland were affected by quite severe flooding. The village of Hepscott, just outside of Morpeth, was one of those affected. And whilst it wasn't affected to the extent of Morpeth, one of the main reasons that the village flooded was the fact that the drains were overwhelmed. Would the Right Honourable Gentleman agree with me that simple maintenance, cleaning of drains, upgrading them where necessary, perhaps would not have prevented the worst damage, but certainly would have alleviated many of the problems that did happen?
The Honourable Member makes an important point. I'm going to return to it in a moment, because I think drain and culvert maintenance is very important. But I was looking at what I think the Environment Agency must do in a number of areas. And in the Rothbury and Coketown areas, I actually want them to get engaged with local people to discuss reducing the flood risk. And I mentioned that there's work currently being done on the Coplish Burn, but that by itself won't be enough. And because of access difficulties, even that is not certain to be completed. There needs to be a public meeting in which the agency must explain and discuss the options which could be pursued. For example, by extending the floodplain in upstream areas. Local councillors Stephen Bridget and I both feel that such a discussion with local people is urgent. The Environment Agency needs to be similarly open with the people of the Ingram Valley. I share their anger that action which could have reduced the damage and the risk has previously been resisted by the agency on the grounds that the river would not pose the very dangers that we saw in September. And I've got a letter which the Environment Agency sent to me in October 2005 when I took up a demand for some work to be done. And they said in that letter, we refuse consent for the works on the grounds that they would cause too much environmental damage. We have monitored the situation over the last 2 years and seen no indication of rapid erosion. In fact, the section of river appears to be naturally stabilising. Well, that very section of river went from 50 metres from property to a matter of just a few feet from property during these floods. So the agency had, in refusing consent for works, had actually wrongly anticipated what the situation was going to be. And the agency has to take account of all sorts of issues, and this results in local residents feeling that the interests of fish are taking priority over the homes and livelihood of those who live and work in the valley. Not far away in Pow Burn, where there's very serious flooding, there's a belief that the massive landslip which has closed the A697 actually prevented the flooding of the village from being even worse. When the road's been rebuilt, which can't be soon enough for the people in Glanton, because they've got all the diverted traffic going through Glanton, it will need to incorporate some method of retaining floodwater in the Dean, which is between the road and the railway track, so that it doesn't overwhelm the village. It's a curious situation where people in the village, cut off from the south by a landslide, say, oh, thank goodness for the landslide, it could have been even worse but for that. So we really need to look very carefully at alternative measures once the road is reinstated. In the Till Valley, older flood defences had been pierced to protect homes, which seemed to work, but agriculture and local businesses like the Fenton Centre paid a high price. Tourist businesses like the Heatherslaw Railway and the Cafe were hit hard. The flooding of one group of recently built properties at Cannow Mill, Kirk Newton, was no surprise. The Environment Agency had objected to planning permission in 2004, but the planning permission was actually granted in a floodplain, and there's a clear warning there for the future. The future strategy, flood strategy for the Till and the tributaries more generally, needs wide public discussion. Now, one vital but neglected part of flood defence in many areas, and here I return to the point that the Honourable Member for Wansbeck made, is clearing burns and culverts of obstructions which cause floodwater to build up quickly. This was highly relevant in Belford and Netherton. He points out that it was relevant in Hepscott too. It's a local council responsibility, not the Environment Agency, and its importance needs to be more fully recognised. It's a particularly challenging task in large rural authorities, and it needs to be recognised in the funding formula. And of course, we have long-standing arguments about the funding formula as it affects Northumberland and the particular rural challenges that county faces. I turn now to the help which communities need. There's been some good practical help from a wide range of authorities and agencies, both to householders and in some cases to business. DEFRA and the Environment Agency, however, were proving very difficult over the disposal of the large number of animal carcasses, refusing permission for local burial. But One North East stepped in to fund an emergency fallen stock disposal scheme, and farmers were very grateful for that. But of course, the farmers still face huge drying costs and uninsurable crop losses as well. The government has the Belwin system in place to fund local authorities up to 85% of non-insurance covered costs. For small authorities like Castle Morpeth and Addick, there's a particularly strong case for the 100% help which some authorities received last year. And Northumberland, where the new administration has inherited a very difficult financial situation, faces a severe challenge which merits similar help. Warkworth Harbour at Amble is a small tourist port serving the fishing industry and the leisure boating community. The harbour is very popular with anglers, and it's very popular with visitors and local people who like to walk on the harbour wall. The floods had a very destructive impact on the harbour. The riverbed was scoured out by the volume of water, and this also led to the washing away of the infill material behind the harbour wall. There's one section where the piles for the wall don't reach down to the rock. And in this section, the wall has slipped down, tearing holes in the popular walkway, which runs along the top. And the situation has been exacerbated by the discovery that the damage is not covered by the insurance for the harbour. Costs of several thousands of pounds have already been incurred on emergency stabilisation works, and engineers are deciding what needs to be done as the next step. There are some funds for the works in the dredging reserves, but there'll be a need for grant funding from DEFRA and other bodies which usually help finance dredging operations. It's not clear how this money will be accessed or whether it can be obtained, and the income in the harbour is really very small. In the old days it was a busy coal port, but it's long since ceased to be, but the infrastructure of the harbour remains vital for the fishing community, for the leisure boating businesses, and of course for the flood protection of the town of Amble itself. I ask the Minister to give urgent consideration to this problem and to the other problems I've raised. On some points, because I've given a notice of them, she may be able to give me some answers tonight. Others, I think, like the Amble Harbour situation, will require discussion, I think, with various other parts of her department. But I look forward to hearing from her as soon as she's been able to continue those discussions. And I stress just how devastating the impact of these floods was in Northumberland and how important the help will be in putting the county back on its feet.
Jane Kennedy.
Madam Deputy Speaker, in light of the recent flooding events in England at the beginning of September, I am most grateful to the Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Berwick-upon-Tweed, Right Honourable Gentleman, for giving me this opportunity to speak on a really important aspect of my new responsibilities so soon after taking up my new post and so quickly after the incidents to which he's been referring. And I've noted the attendance of a number of other Right Honourable and Honourable Members this evening with similar interest. I should first of all pay tribute to my Honourable friend, the Member for Oldham East and Saddleworth, for the great deal of interest he took in these issues and the very hard work that he committed to the task. I know that he himself has taken a very close interest in the outcome of flooding instances around the country during his period in office. Madam Deputy Speaker, between Friday the 5th and Sunday the 7th of September, heavy rain and flooding affected most of England, and as the Honourable Gentleman, Right Honourable Gentleman, has described, the most serious consequences were felt in the northeast of England, my home region, including Rossbury in his constituency, which I know, but Morpeth and Ponteland also in Northumberland were also hard hit. The severe rainfall that caused the flooding was first identified as a potential threat a number of days before the actual event itself, as a substantial low pressure system was identified tracking towards Europe from the Atlantic. And by Wednesday, the 3rd of September, the Environment Agency and the Met Office began detailed modelling to accurately track the low-pressure system and to predict potential rainfall amounts. Now, by Thursday, the Environment Agency alert status was raised to heightened, and the regional government offices and local resilience forums were contacted by DEFRA and were advised to begin preparations in case of serious flooding. The Right Honourable Gentleman complained that the flood warning for Rothbury was not issued by the Environment Agency during the event of the 6th of September, and I acknowledge that the system didn't work. I understand that this was due to limitations within its current infrastructure network in terms of the river level gauging, and that will clearly, lessons will need to be learned, as always, when an incident of this seriousness and nature occurs. And the agency is aware of the issue and is looking to improve the flood warning service for Rothbury. Now, I will give way.
In congratulating the Right Honourable Gentleman for securing this debate, may I just ask the Right Honourable Lady, does she share my concern that all of us are trying to encourage the Environment Agency to push up registration for flood warnings? When this sort of incident happens, it does detract from the possible signing up to such registration. If the government could do something in that regard, I think it really would be vital.
Well, I acknowledge that flood warnings do save lives, and I understand over 70,000 more people have registered with the Environment Agency flood warning system. So I don't entirely accept that an incident of this nature actually puts off people from registering. The agency is also improving its advice to the public. It's running flood awareness campaigns, and it's working with the Met Office to improve the quality of flood warnings. Flood warnings were issued in Morpeth, if I may say just a little more detail about what happened in these particular events in Northumberland. The heavy rainfall early warnings were issued for the northeast of England, and flash flood warnings were sent out across many further parts of the country on Friday, and through this early warning system and the new and improved working arrangements between the Environment Agency and the Met Office, warnings were issued to alert local authorities and the emergency services, and preparations were made to prepare vulnerable people and vulnerable areas. Now, the rainfall that occurred in the northeast was then very heavy indeed. In fact, advice from the Environment Agency is that the flooding that occurred was estimated as a 1-in-60-year event. And at the time and since, a lot of attention was rightly focused on Morpeth, where the first flood watch alert was issued at 3:30 in the morning, on Saturday morning, with warnings escalating throughout the day. The first area to flood in Morpeth was the undefended High Stanners area at around 11 o'clock on the Saturday morning, and river levels continued to rise, and further severe warnings were issued for other parts of the town, with flooding from the river starting between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 4:45 at various locations, as well as flooding from the River Wansbeck, which received 94 millimetres of rainfall between the Friday and Saturday. A number of areas of the town were affected by surface water, which affected many properties and contributed to flood defences being overtopped. In Morpeth, approximately 1,000 homes and businesses were affected by the flooding, and around 250 families were looked after in rescue centres and temporary accommodation. Rothbury, in the Honourable Gentleman's constituency, as he describes, was completely cut off, and in Ponteland, the River Pont burst its banks. Critical infrastructure was affected in the area, with four electricity substations being switched off. The ambulance station was flooded, and all roads into Morpeth were impassable. The events that took place were very serious indeed, and when one is not affected by such an event, one can have nothing but sympathy for those whose families and homes and businesses are in fact affected. On the issue of the damage to the harbour, if I might just make sure that I respond to that particular point, the Right Honourable Gentleman has asked me to write to him. I'm more than happy to do so. I wasn't sure precisely what the damage was that he was referring to until I've heard his comments, but I will get a response to him in writing. Quite happy to do that. I'm going to say a little bit about the animal carcasses that he referred to in a moment. Now, I've talked about the critical infrastructure. The flooding of homes and businesses is, as I've said, devastating, but such events will take place from time to time, Madam Deputy Speaker, despite the substantial increase in flood defence spending that the government is putting into effect. So we must be ready to react, at national, regional and local levels. And it's worth just reminding the House, or in fact the House may not know, that the following schemes are examples of where effective flood defence was provided to other communities in the recent September flood event, that is, works that had been put in place to enable the damage to be averted. 21,000 homes at River Taff, thousands of homes at the River Wye in Hereford, thousands of homes at River Rhondda in Ferndale, 2,100 homes at River Birket in the Wirral, homes, hundreds of homes in Warrington, Manchester, Bangor-on-Dee, Yorkshire, Tees at the Yarm, and also 600 homes, in fact, in York.
Look, just briefly on that, because it is fair to say that the work that was done by the Environment Agency saved many houses in Ponteland from being flooded as they were a few years ago. In fact, as it happened, only about a dozen were flooded simply because of the work that was put in the Environment Agency. That was positive.
Well, I'm very grateful to the Honourable Gentleman for making that point. But having said that, I do know that when it does happen, and when an event takes place and the defences aren't adequate to the event, then the impact upon families and businesses is indeed devastating. And I understand from my honourable friend, the member for Littleborough and Saddleworth, for Oldham East and Saddleworth, that he felt it was satisfying to see the success of the multi-agency approach coordinated by the Gold Command set up in Northumberland in September. Those involved showed what can be accomplished through strong partnership work. And the successful evacuation of Morpeth is an example of that. It commenced at 12 o'clock at noon, starting in the High Stanners area. A full evacuation was underway by 4 o'clock, led by the local authority and supported by the emergency services and the Environment Agency. And approximately 185 fire and rescue personnel were used on Saturday, all 22 appliances in Northumberland being utilised. Mutual aid assistance was given by neighbouring fire and rescue services, and the operation was supported by Northumberland Mountain Rescue, Northumbria Police Marine Rescue and the RSPCA. Fire and rescue people carriers as well as minibuses were used to transport evacuated residents to rest centres, helping approximately 300 members of the public to reach safe accommodation at the height of the evacuation. But by the morning of Sunday the 7th, the floodwaters had thankfully almost completely receded, roads were reopened, and I must commend the residents within affected areas for how quickly they bounced back, with much of the centre of Morpeth incredibly open for business before Sunday lunchtime and the recovery operation well underway. But following any flooding event, the hard work really begins on the long road to recovery. And in Northumberland, the local recovery and support operation will continue for some months yet. And the Right Honourable Gentleman is right to point out that there will be a number of families who will suffer for many months to come, perhaps the loss of their homes and perhaps damage to their business. I would like to express my deep gratitude to all involved for the way they've pulled together in the face of such adversity. Recovery and restoration groups in Castle Morpeth and Alnwick are offering guidance and support to local residents, while representatives of the councils, fire and rescue service and police have visited local residents to discuss the support available. And the National Flood Forum is advising the recovery and restoration groups on the likely issues that they will face as the recovery effort continues. One North East, the Regional Development Agency, has made £500,000 available to help with immediate costs for affected businesses. And my Honourable friend, the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Member for Wentworth, has confirmed that the Belwyn scheme has been activated to cover the immediate local authority costs of responding to the floods. I hear what the Right Honourable Gentleman says about whether it should be 85% or 100%. These are matters that no doubt will be considered. Applications for Belwyn assistance are being prepared at present by Northumberland County Council and by Castle Morpeth Borough Council. I would also like to extend my gratitude for the actions of many of the third sector organisations following the flooding events, which has once again shown how our communities can really pull together at difficult times. Voluntary agencies have worked with supermarkets to provide food, goods and cleaning materials, and residents have provided donations in the form of furniture and household items, and community groups continue to provide drop-in centres to give affected families a break from the clean-up operation. Now, as many local people will have seen in the press coverage at the time, and indeed the Right Honourable Gentleman raised the question, a distressing issue that can arise from flooding is the impact on both wildlife and livestock. Unfortunately, it was reported that around 800 sheep were lost during the floods, and left unchecked, the existence of so many dead animals would have posed a risk to public health. The majority of carcasses were disposed of thanks to arrangements made at short notice by the County Council and funded by One North East. I don't recognise the description the Right Honourable gave of the reluctance of the Environment Agency to engage. I'm advised that it was a partnership approach and that the prompt action did, in fact, help give the proper response, certainly one that we would have looked to have seen. And I commend all of those who brought about the effective, the fast and effective disposal of those carcasses. Now, I know that many people have made public their thanks to the emergency services for the excellent job that they've done in dealing with the flooding events, and I would like to record mine today. For some citizens of Morpeth, the September floods will not have been their first experience of such events. Since September, the Environment Agency has carried out emergency works in the area, such as a structural assessment of a damaged in-river weir upstream of Morpeth, structural assessments of various flood defences in the town, and designing a replacement flood wall demolished by the force of water pushing against it after the town had been inundated. Important for the longer term is the initiation of the Environment Agency's flood alleviation scheme, which commenced in December 2007. The River Wansbeck strategy study determined that a standalone flood alleviation scheme should be progressed in Morpeth, and an initial site investigation was carried out and an environmental assessment is underway. In addition, very quickly, I'm not sure how much time I've got left.
Give some reassurance, though, to those in the many other river valleys, the Till, the Coquet, the Breamish, that their concerns are going to be addressed by the Environment Agency and addressed openly.
Well, certainly the Environment Agency will examine the incidents of flooding wherever they occur, and will obviously want to learn the lessons and to determine strategies to see what can be done to avoid flooding in the future. He raised a whole range of areas that might be flooded and were flooded, and clearly the Environment Agency will have to look at the experience of the North East and Northumberland in particular as a result of September's rains. Now, although substantial flooding did occur in parts of the North East in September, it is important to remember the many flood defence systems that were not breached despite the very heavy rain. I referred to a number of those earlier in my comments. Many properties were saved from damage in Bishop and West Auckland, places that I know well from my childhood, where completion of a dam at Spring Gardens held back floodwater above the town at a height of 8.5 metres. It seems to me an incredible height. And in Hexham at Cockshaw Burn and Halgett Burn, the combination of a new engineered channel and flood diversion pipe operated to take flood water away from the centre of the town. The Environment Agency is responsible for maintaining and repairing flood defences, including the installation of temporary defences where needed. And during the past year, they have inspected 180,000 assets and carried out work that now means that 95% are serviceable and will perform as designed during a flood event. The Environment Agency spent £377 million building and maintaining flood defences in England, as well as raising public awareness through greatly improved flood mapping and warning systems. More generally, our work to improve preparedness against flooding is ongoing, and although we must recognise that we can never eliminate the risk of flooding, we are determined to improve our ability to reduce the impact of flooding. The government is increasing investment, and we will see a record £2.15 billion invested over the next three-year period. May I, in the closing moments of this debate, as I've said, we will never be able to eradicate the threat, but I am encouraged that the events of September demonstrate the preparedness and professionalism of those charged with responding at every level. I'm not complacent, but I do believe we are in a better place to respond to the threat.
That was Jane Kennedy, Minister at DEFRA, responding to Sir Alan Beef in Monday night's debate in the House of Commons. I'm joined on the phone now by Phil Welton from the Environment Agency. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
And I believe you're actually involved in construction of one of the projects in the area that will help to address flood problems in the future.
That's right. I'm the project manager for the Morpeth Flood Alleviation Scheme, which we've been working on for a year now.
Right. Now, the Minister on Monday night said, following any flooding events, the hard work really begins on the long road to recovery. Must feel like there's a mountain of work to do.
That's right, yes. I mean, there's obviously the work immediately after the event. There's the response to the flood, helping people get back into their homes. But there's also the response that the Environment Agency has to do in terms of checking our systems, making sure they're more robust for the future, and also working on schemes so we can better protect towns and villages across Northumberland and the rest of the country for future years.
Well, perhaps we can talk about the one in Morpeth first, because that's the one you're directly involved with, Phil. What are you planning to do?
Well, as I said, we started the project about a year ago, and we've been going through the development phase, so we're going through that at the moment. So what we're doing at the moment is we're looking at the different options that could protect Morpeth from floods. Or give Morpeth a better level of protection. There are already defences in Morpeth. We estimate they're at about a 1 in 60 year stand of defence, so from a flood event that would occur every 60 years. But obviously in the September floods, they were completely overwhelmed. So we're working at the moment to see what different options are available. We're looking at the defences in the town to see if they can be raised. We're talking to upstream landowners to see if water can be stored further up in the catchment to actually slow down getting into Morpeth and actually hold water up on the fields up upstream of Morpeth on the Wansbeck, because obviously it's a better solution to hold the water upstream than just keep raising the defences in the town. So as I said, we're looking at the various options at the moment, and we hope to present those options to the public into the new year.
And will there be lessons to be learnt for the River Coquit and the River Till and perhaps some of the other areas in the county which suffered very badly from river flooding?
Yes, I mean, we after any event, after any flood event, we do look at what worked well and what didn't work so well. We try and learn the lessons from those. At Rothbury, there was obviously a lot of flooding took place. 50 properties were flooded. And the main flood warning for Rothbury wasn't issued. But that was because of the way the telemetry system was set up that generates those flood warnings. The flood event was different to that which we'd anticipated, so the flood warning wasn't issued. So those sort of things, we look at the lessons from that and work out a better way of issuing those flood warnings in the future.
Right, and the Minister said, and you just said, that the Morpeth defences are built as a 1 in 60 year event, and you were saying to me before we started the interview that the rains in September were a 1 in 200 year event. Do you think times are changing now, and sort of stats like 200 years as we move forward with climate change, we've actually got to expect these sort of exceptional weather conditions more and more often?
Well, we are seeing more stormy rainfall patterns, and we do anticipate that in the future there will be more flooding incidents from more severe storm events through climate change. But what we're doing at the moment is we're working on schemes to try and reduce the impact in the future. So the scheme we'll be looking at in Morpeth will take account of sort of future climate change, and will look to put in place a scheme that will provide a very good level of protection, even taking into account that future climate change as well.
There are lots of people involved, and I think tribute was given to many of the agencies that were involved in the immediate aftermath of September, that there are the councils, there are the Environment Agency, there are the emergency services, and they will have to work together, I guess, to make sure that all issues are addressed. And the whole issue of drains and gullies was raised down in Hepscott. Do you think this is an evolving thing that you're going to have to learn to do more planning going forward, or do you think there's a good level of cooperation in already?
I think there's a good level of cooperation, but I do think it probably can be improved. I mean, there is a varying there's a range of responsibilities out there. The Environment Agency is responsible for flooding from the main river. There's the surface water, the drains are responsibility of the local authority and the Northumbrian Water and people like that. So we do need to work together to make sure that all of the flooding issues are addressed, and not just pick one or the other. Because in Morpeth there was obviously a lot of flooding from the main river, but prior to that there'd been some areas where under a lot of water from surface water flooding, for example. So we need to look at the variety of ways that flooding can occur, and we do all need to work together. I think the response to the events in Morpeth, I mean, the different agencies worked very hard in Morpeth, and it was a good response to the event. But there are some areas where we can learn lessons, and what we'll be doing is we'll be talking to our partner organisations to make sure we do learn those lessons, so that in future the response will be even better.
Right, there was a lot of attention given in the debate to the failures in flood warning systems. I must admit, I guess for those of us who don't understand the way these things work, it's sort of very hard to get our head around. So perhaps you can tell us, first of all, you know, how flood warning systems work.
Well, the main flood warning systems are generated by river levels. But it starts off with we usually receive a severe weather warning from the Met Office, and from that weather warning we start to look at our river levels, see what's happening with the rainfall, and as soon as we think something could occur, we issue flood watches for river catchments. So throughout Northumberland, the flood watches were issued on the Friday and early on the Saturday for the different catchments throughout the area, and the flood watches go to our professional partners. It goes to the media, so they can start to report the fact that there's a flood watch in place. And what we ask then is that when that flood watch is issued, that people keep an eye on the river, they start to prepare for the fact that there could be flooding. But it's an early warning, and obviously if the weather patterns change, then that flooding might not occur. What then happens is we then generate the actual flood warnings, and they come from gauging stations we have on river courses. So a lot of all of the main river courses in Northumberland, we have gauging stations on those river courses, and they're set at trigger levels. So when trigger levels are reached by the river, it sends a message to the incident room in Newcastle that a flood warning needs to be issued for that town or that area. So there's usually at least two trigger levels on each gauging station. So when the river reaches a certain level, the first sort of level of flood alert is issued, which is the flood watch. At the next level, when the next trigger level is reached, the next flood warning is issued. So what we try to do is the flood warnings and the severe flood warnings that are issued, they're set at a level that they're not being issued every time there's heavy rainfall. We want those to be issued when we think there's a real threat of flooding, not just when the river's going up and down in response to heavy rainfall. But what we do try to do is we try to give an hour or two's notice from when issuing that warning to the actual flooding occurring. So we need to get the right balance between not warning people too often when flooding doesn't occur and crying wolf too often, but we need to be sure that there's going to be flooding occurring, or we think there's going to be flooding occurring, before we issue those flood warnings.
So there were specific concerns, I guess, at Rothbury on the what happened there, and I think it's because of the unusual nature of the rainfall patterns. Are there lessons to be learnt from that?
Absolutely. I mean, the gauging station that triggers the flood warning for Rothbury, the trigger level never was reached, because the trigger level, the gauging station is on a tributary of the Coquet, which tends to receive a lot of rainfall and contribute a lot to the flooding in Rothbury. Now the weather patterns were different to that which we'd set up the warning system for, and there was a lot of rain on part of the catchment that didn't have that gauging station on. So as far as the warnings being issued, the trigger level hadn't been reached. So the infrastructure setup was wrong for that event, if you like. So what we're doing now is we're reviewing how the event occurred, and what we'll do is we'll make sure we put in systems in place that we can issue the warning for Rothby no matter how the rainfall occurs throughout the catchment, whether that means we have to put in a new gauging station or lower the trigger level, or however we do it, we'll be looking at it in the coming weeks, and we'll make sure we address that issue, because it's unfortunate that the flood warning didn't get issued for Rothbury, but as I say, it was due to the way the rainfall fell in the catchment in that particular event.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Phil. That's been really useful, and I guess you've got a lot of work ahead of you.